Okay, thanks so much for coming to the session and being patient with us while we got that set up. This is session 151, the Americanization of Mormonism Reflected in Pop Culture. Our presenter is Dennis Potter. Dennis is a professor at UVSC and teaches philosophy there. He got his master's degree from Notre Dame in philosophy. And to give you a little idea about Dennis, when we went to New York and Yale for the Yale Theological Conference, Dennis was determined to find a war protest in Manhattan and get arrested. We were not that fortunate, but that was the attempt. The respondent today is Mark Pinsky, who after last night needs no introduction, so I'll just say he's the author of The Gospel According to Disney and The Gospel According to The Simpsons. When I read The Gospel According to The Simpsons, I became uncomfortably aware that I was far more like Homer than I wanted to believe. I believe the phrase he used or the wording that he used somewhat is that Homer uses religion or God like a parachute just when an emergency is needed. And so Dennis is going to read just a couple of things, and we'll get the episode of South Park started. And so when he's ready, he can come up and do that. Dennis, I can get it too. So. Right. Okay. We'll try and get the, Alan, do you have the remote so we can turn on the closed captions? We'll try that too so you can read it as well.
It's here, but it's not.
Okay. Well, we'll work at it. Actually, here is Dennis.
Okay. Sorry about that.
In my view, Mormon studies is the academic study of Mormonism as a culture, or set of cultures, set of religious institutions, theologies, and religious practices, etc. It arrives as a subdiscipline of religious studies or area studies only to the extent that non-Mormon academics are interested in pursuing it without the specific purpose of debunking Mormon belief. To some extent, this has happened, but not to the degree that it has happened in religious studies generally. That said, I also think that academics cannot help but engage in a socio-political enterprise. We are not dispassionate observers and describers of phenomenon of a ready-made reality whose nature is independent of our conceptual structures. My academic claims are often normative, even when I do not intend them to be. So, I believe that one aspect of Mormon studies should be the investigation of the ways representations of Mormonism from outside and from the inside serve to support structures of power within the institution and outside it. Cultural studies, in brief, is an interdisciplinary approach to studying human life that employs political theory and strategy, philosophy, anthropology, literary criticism, religious studies, etc. Its approach is unabashedly political. The purpose is to show how cultural representations in human life serve to reinforce structures of power that marginalize some and centralize others. Mormonism, once marginalized but now becoming centralized in the American culture, is a very interesting case study for this type of political critique. My approach involves the premises that, one, early Mormonism was radically opposed to the structures of power in 19th century America, both in theology and practice. Two, contemporary Mormonism is in the process of being assimilated to American culture, so much so that a Mormon's often held up as the perfect example of a good American. And three, the theology remains radical in certain respects, but this radicality is slowly diminishing. In other words, anti-Mormonism has won, but not from external pressure. Instead, it has won by way of internalizing ideological and effective methods of control within Mormon culture, institutions, and brains. The upshot is that LDS Mormonism is being assimilated into the machine of American capitalism, and it will continue to support American oppression and hegemony throughout the world, like it did with Pinochet. I believe that these claims about Mormonism's relationship to networks of American power are reflected in the ultra-positive representations of Mormons in pop culture. By ultra-positive, I mean that the respects in which they portray Mormons positively are exaggerated. My view is that this is in itself a form of anti-Mormonism, but probably not for the reasons that one would guess. In order to make my point, I will refer to a particular representation of Mormons in pop culture on television. I want to focus on this episode of the popular comedy South Park called All About the Mormons.
We have a new student joining us today who has just moved here from Utah. I want you all to say hi to Gary.
Hello, everybody. It's really great to meet you all.
Gary was state champion in wrestling and in tennis. He also maintained a 4.0 grade point average at his old school and has been on two national commercials for toothpaste.
I'm really excited to live in this town and share all kinds of great experiences with you, my new friends.
Oh, dude, what a little asshole. Yeah, screw that kid.
All right, Gary, why don't you take that empty seat and we'll get started with the lesson.
Hey, my name's Gary.
Hi, my name's Yura. Yura Fag.
That's funny. You're cool, man.
Okay, now who can tell me what year the first astronauts landed on the moon?
Oh, 1969.
Very good, Gary. Wow, looks like I don't have a class full of retards anymore, doesn't it, children?
Dude, that new kid is such a douche.
Yeah, somebody needs to put him in his place.
He's a pecker face, that's what he is.
Go kick his ass, Dan. Yeah, go kick his ass. Well, maybe he won't fight. Will he bleed? That's all we care about.
Come on, dude, somebody needs to wipe that f***ing smirk off his face. Yeah, little bitch.
All right, I'm gonna go kick his ass. Yeah, go, Dan, go, Dan! All right, I got $5 on the other kid. Who wants it?
Oh, hey there. You want to kick the ball around with me?
No, I'm going to kick your ass.
Excuse me?
I'm going to kick your ass, bitch.
How come you want to fight me? Oh, I get it. I'm the new kid. Yeah, I guess maybe I deserve it.
Huh?
It's really tough being in a totally new place, but I think all you guys are really cool, so I understand if there's initiation rites.
Dude, stop it.
Hey, howdy, Stan.
Shut up, Butters.
The other kids are watching. Look, do what you gotta do. I won't fight back. I just hope that maybe afterwards we can try to be friends someday.
What are they doing?
They're just standing there talking.
What happened?
I'm going over to his house for dinner tonight.
What? How did that happen?
He's a really nice kid. You were supposed to kick his ass, not lick his butthole.
You're having dinner with his family? What kind of family is a kid like that?
Okay, my turn. Ooh, five. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, lost your mortgage. Pay $10,000. Oh, no.
Hey, it's Gary.
Gary.
Great to see you.
How are you?
Hey, everybody. This is my new friend, Stan. Stan, this is my mom and dad.
Hi, Stan.
It's so nice to meet you.
And this is my brother, Mark.
Hi.
My sister, Jenny.
Hey.
My little brother, Dave.
Hi.
And my baby sister, Amanda.
Hello, Stan.
Well, it's great you could join us for family home evening, Stan.
What's that?
That's when we don't allow any TV and just entertain each other with music and stories. Doesn't your family ever do that?
No.
Hey, kids, why don't you grab your instruments and play a song for Stan?
Okay. All right,
let's do it.
Boy, who is the best mom in the world?
Yeah, all right, mom.
All right, go Dave.
Yeah, woo!
We'll be your guides now, your gambles, your songs.
Hey.
Oh, that's a great story, Sarah.
All right, kids. Now how about we do some scripture readings from the Book of Mormon?
All right!
Woo! Ow! The Book of Mormon? What's that?
You know, the book that Joseph Smith found.
Who's Joseph Smith?
Only the most important person in the world.
You never heard of him?
No. Tell us the story of Joseph Smith again, Dad.
Yeah, yeah,
tell us, Dad.
All right, you rascals, gather round. Joseph Smith lived in a little American town in the early 1800s.
Dee-da-dee-da-da. Joseph Smith was a
prophet, dum 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 dum. He started the Mormon religion, dum 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 dum.
There goes that kooky Joseph Smith. You know he claims he spoke with God and Jesus.
Well, how do you know he didn't?
Dum 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 dum. Joseph Smith was called a prophet.
Hey, Joseph, I told my wife that you spoke with God and Jesus, and she didn't believe it.
Well, it's true. I did.
Where?
I was out in the woods, praying. I was asking God if I should be a Protestant or a Catholic or what. And suddenly, God and Jesus appeared before me. And they said I should start my own church because none of the others had it right. And that's exactly how it happened.
You see? You believe it now?
Well, yeah, sure. Why would he make that up?
Dum, 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 dum. Many people believe Joseph. Dum, 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 dum. And that night he saw an angel. Dum, 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 dum.
And please bless Mother and Father. And please keep our bellies full of yum-yums and luscious goodies. Ah! Oh my gosh!
I am Moroni. I am a Native American.
A Native American? But your skin is white.
Yes, long ago all Native Americans were white. We all came to America from Jerusalem. And while we were here, we were visited by Christ.
Jesus lived here in America?
Yes, eventually my people were all killed by the other tribe of Israel. And as punishment, God turned their skin red. These are the Native Americans you know today.
Dum 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 dum.
There is an ancient book buried near here, written on gold plates that account my people's lives. Also buried with the book are two seer stones, the Urim and Thummim, which will allow you to translate the writings. Find it and fulfill your destiny.
And we all know what happened then, don't we?
Yeah, I know.
What happened then?
Ooh, the Rice Krispie Squares are done.
Rice Krispie Squares!
All right! Yay! Rice Krispie Squares!
Hey, gang, let's wrap some more of them up in plastic wrap and hand them out to the poor.
Awesome! Yeah, I can't wait!
Yeah.
You coming, Stan?
No, I was supposed to be home at 8.
Aw, that's too bad. Well, it was really nice meeting you, Stan.
Bye, Stan!
Yeah.
Great to meet you.
Bye. Hello?
Oh, hi, Stan.
Hey, Dad, how come you never told me about Joseph Smith?
Who?
Just heard we're watching Friends!
The guy who spoke to God and Jesus.
Well, Stan, God and Jesus don't actually speak to people.
That's not what the Harrisons said.
Who are the Harrisons?
The new people that moved in down the street. Mr. Harrison said that Joseph Smith spoke to God and Jesus, and they told him none of the religions were right.
Oh, did he now? What are they, religious kooks?
They're not kooks, they're cool. I mean, how come we never have a night where we don't watch any TV and we just do stuff together and eat and drink?
We have that, Stan. It's called Friday Night Kegger.
But that's just you and your friends.
Shut up, turd!
Mr. Harrison said that I need to be following Heavenly Father's plan, and I don't even know what that is.
All right, that does it.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna go have a talk with this Mr. Harrison. If he thinks he can fill my son's head with wacko religious crap, he's wrong.
Randy, don't cause trouble.
Let me handle this, Sharon. You gotta put these cult people in their place or else they never stop. I'm gonna go kick this Mr. Harrison's ass. Mr. Harrison's a white guy, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm gonna kick his ass. Goddamn religious kooks. Tell my son what to believe, will you? We'll see how you like my fist in your ass.
Hello!
Yeah, are you Mr. Harrison?
I sure am. The name's Gary.
Well, look, my kid was just over at your house and he...
Oh, you're Stan's dad! It's so nice to finally meet you! Karen! Mr. Marsh is here!
Look, I just want to tell you that...
Oh, Mr. Marsh, what a treat! It's so nice to meet you!
Well, thanks.
Karen just finished baking the most amazing Rice Krispie Squares.
With chocolate frosting.
Come on out of the cold. You gotta try one. Or six. I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to have you over.
I hear you're a geologist. That is so amazing.
Look, I actually came over because I'm a little concerned about some of the things you told my son.
Uh-huh.
You know, about God and stuff.
Oh, boy, you think we were trying to convert him.
Well, I...
Oh, Mr. Marsh, I am so sorry.
We just moved here from Utah, and we're so used to everyone being Mormon that we... Oh, we forget not everyone wants to hear about it. Oh, boy, you must be furious.
Well, no, no, I just...
You just heard your son talking about religious ideals that aren't your own, and you said, who the heck do these people think they are? I'm really, truly sorry, Mr. Marsh. It won't happen again.
You can call me Randy.
Randy, the last thing we want is for people to think we're pushing our religion. We know there are a lot of beliefs out there, and ours just works for us.
To each his own, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to be honest, I've never known any Mormons. I don't even know what you people believe. Who was this Joseph Smith guy? Why did he believe that Native Americans were actually white people from Jerusalem?
Well, because he found ancient books. They had written on gold plates, right where the angel Moroni said they would be.
I found them! I found them! You're not gonna believe it, everybody! I found them!
Found what?
Another New Testament of Jesus Christ.
What?
Last night, a Native American angel told me where I could find another Testament of Jesus Christ, so I went out to the woods. I dug around all morning where the angel had told me to look. Maybe there isn't anything out here. Wait a tick. What's this? Wow. Inside the stone box, I found the magical seer stones. Under that, I found four gold plates written in strange writing. This must be the gospel that Jesus told the Nephites. Well, they were the most amazing things I had ever gazed upon.
Wolf, so where are they?
Where are what?
The gold plates and the seer stones. Where are they?
Oh. Oh, well, I was not allowed to take them. You see, after I found the plates, the angel Moroni appeared to me again and said that I am not allowed to show the plates or the seer stones to anybody because first I must translate what's written on the plates into English so you can all read it.
Dum, 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 dum.
Wow! Amazing!
He found the stones and golden plates. Dum, 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 dum. Even though nobody else ever saw them. Dum, 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 dum.
So, how'd it go, Clubber Lang? You kicked Mr. Harrison's ass?
Not exactly. We're, having their family over for dinner tomorrow night.
See? That's what happened to me!
Sharon, did you know this guy Joseph Smith found a New Testament to the Bible buried here in America?
What are you talking about?
Well, it's just that the Harrisons are really nice people, and you should see how loving and together their family is. I think there's something to that religion.
That's what they made me think, too.
No, all right, that does it. From now on, our family is Mormon.
Hey, Stan, how was your date last night with the new kid? Shut up, dude. They're a nice family, and Gary is actually really smart and talented. You guys, I think Stan's in love.
Yeah, did you make out with him, too?
What's the big deal? Can't I have other friends? You guys should give Gary a chance.
Hey, Stan.
Oh, here's Stan's little girlfriend now.
Hey, guys. Stan, I remember you said last night that you'd lost your wallet, so I made you a new one. I carved a picture of John Elway into the leather on the front.
Wow, you made this? Aw, look at them. Aren't they so cute together?
Hey, my family's on their way over to the fire station to donate blood. You want to come along?
I don't think so, Gary. I have to,
Oh, here comes my family now!
Hey, guys!
Hey, guys!
Look, we painted our faces!
I'm a lion!
I'm an alien!
Hey! Just what the heck am I supposed to be?
My God.
You gonna come with us to the fire station, Stan?
No, I've got a lot to do.
Well, Gary, you wanna just hang out with your friend Stan?
Oh, well, I'd like to, but... Oh, man, I would miss you guys so much.
We'd miss you too, Gary.
Oh, we'll all see each other tonight when we go to Stan's house for dinner. Stay and play with your friends, Gary.
Yeah, have a good time, boys.
Let's go. Our faces are painted.
Wow.
So what do you guys want to do?
That's cool. We're going to leave you two lovebirds alone. The three of us have to go put in some volunteer work at the homeless shelter.
Oh, cool. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Jesus Christ.
So, hey, I heard your dad came over last night, and he and my dad talked about Joseph Smith. That's great.
Yeah, I had a question about that Joseph Smith guy.
Sure.
What happened after he found the golden plates buried in the ground?
Well, he kept them hidden from everyone like he was told. And then he translated what was written on the plates into the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, but how?
Dum, 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 dum.
What's this all about?
about, Mr. Smith?
Mr. Harris, can you keep a secret?
Well, sure I can.
I have, in my possession, an ancient book written on gold plates that tells of Jesus Christ's second coming, here, in America.
In America? Really? That sounds kind of...
Dum, 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 dum.
It's true, and I'm going to translate the plates and publish it into a book for the whole world to read. Now, I know you have a lot of money, Mr. Harris, and I'm just going to need a little bit to pay for the publishing costs.
I don't know. How do you expect to translate it?
With these.
Rocks?
They're not rocks. They're seer stones, given to me by an angel. With them, God allows me to translate the plates into English. Watch. You take this quill and paper and write down what I say. Sit here. I have the golden plates here in this hat. I need to have them somewhere dark so I can read this spiritual light.
Really?
Now, when I put the seer stones into the hat, the ancient letters light up and change to English, which I can then read to you.
Wow!
Ooh, I'm seeing the light. Oh, okay, write this down. And so it was that Christ appeared before the Nephites.
And that's how the Book of Mormon was written. Dum, 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 dum. Dum da dum 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 da dum 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 dum.
1, 2, 3, 4. Pay $1,000 property tax. Isn't this great, you guys? Our first family home evening.
I want to watch TV.
We're not watching TV. We're Mormons now, and we're having family home evening.
Dad, did you know that Joseph Smith guy read the Book of Mormon out of a hat?
And? Your turn, Sharon.
It's just that the Book of Mormon says a lot of strange stuff, like that Adam and Eve lived in Jackson County, Missouri.
Yes.
But school taught me that the first man and woman lived in Africa.
Well, you can't believe everything school tells you, Stan. Your turn, Shelley.
Ooh, that must be the Harrisons.
Hey, everybody!
Wow, what a great house!
You must be Mrs. Marsh. It's so nice to meet you!
And you must be Stan's sister. Oh, I think your brother's the greatest.
My brother is a stupid turd.
Hey, Stan.
Hey, Gary.
Well, come on in and sit down, everybody. You're here just in time. My son was having a little problem with our new religion.
Dad?
Oh, really? Well, that's just because he hasn't heard the best part about the Joseph Smith story. The one that proves he was for real.
Yeah!
Ooh, what's that?
Well, you remember Martin Harris, the rich man who wrote down what Joseph Smith read out of the hat?
Yeah.
See, after he was done, he took some of the pages of what would become the Book of Mormon home.
Martin went home to his wife, dum 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 dum, and showed her pages from the Book of Mormon, dum 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 dum.
And so Joseph Smith put his head into a hat and read to me what the golden plate said. I wrote it all down, and we're going to publish it into a book.
Martin, how do you know he isn't just making stuff up and pretending he's translating off golden plates?
Lucy Harris, smart, 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 smart.
Why would he make it up?
Martin Harris, dum da dum.
All right, here. I'm going to hide these pages. If Joseph Smith really is translating off of golden plates, then he'll be able to do it again. But if Joseph Smith is making it all up, then the new translations will be different from these.
Okay, fine. I bet he'll have no problem.
Lucy Harris, smart, smart, smart. Martin Harris, dumb. So Martin went on back to Smith, said the pages had gone away. Smith got mad and told Martin he needed to go pray. Dum, 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 dum.
Look, I'm sorry about losing the pages we worked on, Joe, but I'm ready to write it all down again if you translate from the plates.
I would love to, Martin. Except, I just had a vision, and the Lord said he is very angry with me for letting you take those pages.
He is?
Dum, 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 dum.
Yes, he is so mad that he will never let me translate from the plate of Lehi again. He said we must now translate from the plate of Nephi. So it will be the same basic story, but written a little differently.
Wow! God got angry with you, then you must be telling the truth.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right, Martin, let's get to work.
And that's how it happened.
Yeah!
All right!
Wait, Mormons actually know this story and they still believe Joseph Smith was a prophet?
Well, sure. The story proves it, doesn't it?
No, it proves he did make it all up. Are you blind?
Well, Stan, it's all a matter of faith.
No, it's a matter of logic. If you're going to say things that have been proven wrong, like that the first man and woman lived in Missouri and that Native Americans came from Jerusalem, then you better have something to back it up. All you've got are a bunch of stories about some asswipe who read plates nobody ever saw out of a hat and then couldn't do it again when the translations were hidden.
Hey, Stan, don't denounce our religion.
I don't want to be Mormon, Dad.
Neither.
Hey, that's totally cool, guys. You can believe whatever you want.
Yeah, it's great you have your own beliefs.
Yeah,
right, for the Marshes.
Oh, stop it! That's another thing. Why do you have to be so freaking nice all the time? It isn't normal. You just weasel people into your way of thinking by acting like the happiest family in the world and being so nice to everyone that you just blindside dumb people like my dad.
Yeah.
Well, kids, who's up for a water balloon fight?
Yeah!
All right,
balloon fight!
Oh, hey, Stan. Where's your best buddy, Gary?
I'm not hanging around that kid anymore.
Oh, no, you guys broke up?
You guys were right, okay? The new kid's a douche. Now I just gotta find a way to keep him away from me.
Hey, Stan.
Oh, brother. Uh-oh, the jilted lover returns.
Listen, I just wanted to let you know you don't have to worry about me trying to be your friend anymore.
I don't?
Look, maybe us Mormons do believe in crazy stories that make absolutely no sense. And maybe Joseph Smith did make it all up. But I have a great life and a great family. And I have the Book of Mormon to thank for that. The truth is, I don't care if Joseph Smith made it all up. Because what the church teaches now is loving your family, being nice, and helping people. And even though people in this town might think that's stupid, I still choose to believe in it. All I ever did was try to be your friend, Stan. But you're so high and mighty you couldn't look past my religion and just be my friend back. You got a lot of growing up to do, buddy. Suck my balls.
Damn, that kid is cool, huh?
When I originally wrote this, I did not assume that I'd be showing the so I some of this might be a little bit redundant, but for those who haven't seen who've only seen the episode one time, maybe it'll help remind you about some of the content. So we see, as Mr. Garrison introduces Gary, Gary's portrayed as the all-American kid. This all-American kid is an exaggeration and an idealization, of course, but that's part of the point. Mormons are so good, they even fit the idealization of what American should be. I don't think that he's portrayed in this way in order to mock Mormonism's perfectionist character, but to highlight it as an icon of what an American boy should be. My reasons for this will become clearer as we go. Gary's perfection incurs the wrath of the main characters, Stan, Kyle, Cartman, and Kenny, and they send Stan to beat him up after school. Instead, Gary's so nice about it, he's willing to be beat up in front of Stan so that Stan can look good in front of the other kids. Stan ends up agreeing to go to Gary's house for dinner. Again, Mormons are portrayed in an ultra-positive light. Of course, it's Monday night, and so the Mormons are having family home evening. The portrayal of family night is idealistic again, quite far from the material reality of such events, at least from my experience. They sing songs and eat Rice Krispie treats. They begin to talk about the Book of Mormon, and Stan asks about it, so they tell the story of how Joseph Smith found the Book of Mormon and translated it. This is told with a flashback that depicts Joseph Smith and is done in song. The background vocals of the music sound something like dum 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 dum. Now, of course, at first you might have wondered whether that was just a Greek chorus, you know, kind of going along. But after a while, you get the picture, right? If you didn't get it by the time Lucy Harris is questioning it and they switch to smart, 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 I think then you finally got it. Clearly, even if Mormons are perfect examples of Americans, they certainly believe some strange things. The family home evening experience is so powerful for Stan that he wants his family to do it as well. Stan's father, Randy, initially goes over to beat up the patriarch of this fanatically religious family. Repeating the earlier narrative, his family ends up eating dinner with the Mormons, hearing the rest of the story of the founding of the religion, and Stan's dad, Randy, decides that the family will become Mormon. During this part of the telling of the story, we hear about Lucy Harris, and that's where the smart, smart, smart comes in. And clearly, the writers of South Park don't think that there's anything plausible about this religious story, but they've mentioned in quotes several times when they've talked about this episode that they think that's the case with every religion. And in fact, at one point they said something like, the Mormon narrative is pretty stupid, and it's almost as stupid as the Catholic one. That's the way they put it. So in this way, the episode engages in a process of debunking. I'm sorry. Although there's the denouncing of the, or the sort of making fun of the narrative, the religious narrative, the episode also engages in a process of debunking many of the negative representations associated with Mormonism. For example, when Stan denounces the religion, basically, for being internally illogical and not having evidence to support it and so on, they say, oh, well, that's fine. It's cool. You can believe whatever you want, which debunks that idea that Mormons are always pushing their religion on others. Polygamy is never mentioned in the episode. The family doesn't push its religion on anyone. They're not judgmental, exclusivist. They're not even fanatically religious. Now, all of this is more interesting to me than the fact that they make fun of the theology, because it's far from the reality that I experience as a less active and politically radical Mormon living in Utah. Now, this process of debunking is a strategy of normalization, I think. Normalization happens when a group that is once on the outside is brought inside by virtue of new narratives concerning them and ways of treating them. Mormons are brought into the fold of the rest of America as they are accepted into the town of South Park. Now, I'm not making the claim, this is important, that this is the way everyone sees Mormons across the country. I don't think that, I think there's a lot of people who still have very negative images of Mormons. But I think that this is a signal in the pop culture that there is a process of normalization and assimilation of Mormonism in America that is starting, at least. At the very least, it's starting. And if it's in pop culture and it's starting and it's in politics with evangelical Christians aligned with Mormons, then I think we're well on our way down the path towards normalization. Now, it might seem that the debunking of the theology is what makes this episode maybe a work of anti-Mormonism. And in a sense, that reading, I guess, would be correct if we're thinking in terms of traditional Mormonism. But what I'll call New Model Mormonism is not traditional Mormonism. New Model Mormonism plays down the beliefs that are peculiar or unique, the very kinds of beliefs that mainline or evangelical Christians would find difficult to swallow. New Model Mormonism helps to reproduce the representation of traditional Mormonism as strange and foreign, and that's exactly what this episode does. In fact, the descriptions that average Mormons give of Mormon fundamentalists practicing polygamy are virtually identical to the descriptions that 19th century Americans gave of Mormons who were practicing polygamy at that time. It's true that the average Mormon will not find the South Park theological critique to be acceptable. In this way, there is still some subversion of the traditional Mormonism to be carried out from an anti-Mormon perspective. This subversion of the beliefs that their Mormon audience might hold, a small audience indeed, since South Park involves a lot of adult content, this subversion is contained, however, in the final scene, in which the authors make it clear that it doesn't matter how stupid the theology is if the lifestyle makes the practitioners so happy. I want to rehearse the end of the episode again. I just want to actually just give Gary's speech here. So Gary says, listen, I just wanted to let you know you don't have to worry about me trying to be your friend anymore. And Stan says, I don't. Gary says, look, maybe us Mormons do believe in crazy stories that make absolutely no sense, and maybe Joseph Smith did make it all up. But I have a great life and a great family, and I have the Book of Mormon to thank for that. The truth is, I don't care if Joseph Smith made it all up, because what the church teaches now is loving your family, being nice, and helping people. And even though people in this town might think that's stupid, I still choose to believe in it. All I ever did was try to be your friend, Stan, but you're so high and mighty you couldn't look past my religion and just be my friend back. You got a lot of growing up to do, buddy. Suck my balls. And then Cartman says, damn, that kid is cool, huh? It's clear that the authors embrace the Mormon family as an idealization of the perfect American lifestyle. The authors are not making fun of the perfection of the Mormons, and so it is not anti-Mormon by being a mockery of Mormon life. It's important to note that they always have one of these little sermon speeches at the end of the episodes, and usually it's one of the four main characters giving the sermon speech. Very often it's either Stan or Kyle, who are sort of the voices of reason on the show. They let the Mormon have the last word. Well, I mean, Cartman, and Cartman, who is, after all, the most judgmental, is the one who says that the kid is cool. Cartman is a misogynist, racist, anti-Jew. I mean, he's a horrible kid. Now, The authors clearly think the theology is crazy, and they don't even mention what I think are the most radical parts of the theology. But there's some other points of interest that arise in other episodes of South Park that I think ought to be mentioned in order to support the thesis that I'm making. One such episode, one of the characters goes to hell and sees all the Christians there. So he asks, which religion is right? Satan tells him that it was the Mormons. In yet another case, heaven is in a battle with hell, and the angel tells Kenny, who dies, by the way, in every episode, he was the character that was quiet, he used to die in every episode, he doesn't die in every episode anymore, that they used to only let Mormons into heaven, but with the war going poorly, they had to start letting in other religions as well. Finally, several episodes portray a group of superheroes, kind of like the Super Friends of 1970s TV fame, Superman, Aquaman, the Wonder Twins, but these are called the Super Best Friends, and they're all the great religious leaders. It's Jesus, Muhammad, Moses, Buddha, the Hindu God, and Joseph Smith. So Joseph Smith is included. Joseph Smith is usually portrayed in a fairly positive light. By contrast, the other religions don't always fare as well. Jews are all greedy. Catholic priests are adulterous pedophiles, worshiping a giant spider in the Vatican. A recent episode on Scientologists showed them as con artists, fooling rich people for their money, and there was absolutely no redeeming aspect to the way Scientologists are portrayed. The upshot of all of this is that the representations of Mormonism in this subset of pop culture, a wildly popular television show, are all positive and place Mormons at the center of American sociocultural life, and not on its margins. It is in this way that it is anti-Mormon. The Mormonism that it rejects is Mormonism in its original radical form, and the only authentic form, I think. This type of Mormon image reflects the new acceptable Mormonism and facilitates its reproduction by reflecting Mormonism back on itself as the most American of religions. The All About the Mormons episode makes it clear that the theology is still not acceptable, but the practice and lifestyle is ideal. And the South Park buddies end up not really caring too much about the theology anyway. Interestingly, the Mormon kid, Gary, takes a rather liberal religious stance with regard to his doctrines. He says that he doesn't care if Joseph Smith made it all up because what the church teaches now makes him happy. Sounds like an elementary school version of Sterling McMurrin. Gary is committed firmly to his religious practice, and this is allowed to stand as the last and final judgment or statement of the episode. So I want to ask some rather provocative questions and maybe even hint a little bit at some answers. There's a movement among some Mormon theologians and thinkers. This movement, I think, involves the Christianization in the evangelical sense of Mormon theology. Backs away from radical doctrines such as Mother in Heaven, polytheism, deification, and the tendency towards semi-Pelagianism, and also, to add on to that, commitments to economic communism of a sort. And some examples of these of this direction is Stephen Robinson's How Wide the Divide and Blake Osler's book Exploring Mormon Theology and Robert Millett's Different Jesus. To what extent is this theological movement an attempt to finish off the project of the Americanization of Mormonism by assimilating its theology to Christianity? To what extent is this related to the alliances being forged between Mormons and evangelicals on the political issues surrounding laws having to do with the traditional family? South Park certainly reflects America's recognition that Mormonism is all about the so-called traditional nuclear family. And this is a political position on America's right wing that currently holds the center of power in the discourse of our media, even if it does not remotely reflect the norm. The authors of South Park clearly advocate such a position, align themselves with the Christian right, and they help to internalize in the brains of Mormons and non-Mormons alike a Mormonism that has long gone astray from its radical roots. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm just going to say a little bit in response, mainly because of enhanced security checks at the airport. I won't be able to stay here very long. I have a flight to catch, and I don't know how long under the new changed circumstances of this morning I'll be in line. I'll also say that next spring my Simpsons book will be revised in a second edition with a long chapter at the end dealing with religion in other animated series, including Futurama, King of the Hill, American Dad, Family Guy, and South Park. And there's a lengthy discussion about the way religion is portrayed in South Park, and there's a section which deals with this episode and some of the things that Dan has talked about today. I want to say a few things. Some of the stuff, I have to admit, I'm not an academic, I'm a journalist, and so some of what was said, frankly, goes over my head. I'm a B student and not a Mormon, so some of this stuff, I would have to say, is what we in the newspaper business call inside baseball, which is a specialized discussion of theology, which many of you are more familiar with than I am. I live in Orlando, which is in the heartland, really, of evangelical Christianity. So that's, although I'm a Jew, that's the perspective that I have in viewing this episode and evaluating what's been said before. So let me say a few things. Regarding normalization of Mormonism in the American political scene, I think that's true, but I think it's also, and this was implied but not, I don't know, dealt with in great detail, this has been a two-way process. And the Mormons, the traditional Mormons, mainstream Mormons, have not been dragged kicking and screaming to this mainstream, to this alliance with evangelical Christianity. They're really willing participants and in some ways anxious participants to sort of shed the exotic, in the minds of many, history and theology and become part of this this American, what is perceived to be, thank you, the current mainstream of American Christianity and religiosity in America. Now, as was mentioned earlier, a lot of this has a political overtone. That is, making common cause on issues like particularly gay marriage and abortion, and evangelical Christianity, which is really sort of driving the truck at this point. We'll see what happens after November and then in 2008, but for the moment, they're driving the truck. This mirrors the way evangelical Christianity has approached the Catholics, for example. While many evangelical Christians, as you know, will say Mormons aren't Christians, or that the Mormon Jesus, like the Muslim Allah, which is Arabic for God, it's not the same God, or it's not the same Jesus. In the same way, the leaders of evangelical Christianity will frankly say from their own pulpits behind closed doors to the Larry King show that Catholicism is a cult. And they don't mean that in a nice way, I would have to say. Yet, having said that, they have made a practical decision to make common cause with the Catholic Church on a number of issues, though not all issues, I would have to say. On yes, abortion, yes, gay marriage, yes, stem cell research. When it comes to the commitment to the poor and economic justice, no. When it comes to capital punishment, no. When it comes to the war in Iraq, no. But this is just a matter of their priority. So in this sense, the process that you've described about Mormonism moving toward the what is perceived to be the center of the religious landscape mirrors what has been happening with the Catholics. And as I said, because evangelical Christianity has the whip hand, they basically say who can come to their party. And if they say you can come to their party, then you're in their party. And as Bill O'Reilly says, they'll just agree to disagree on whether you're going to go to heaven or not. Boom. Okay. Now, on the issue of the way Mormons are portrayed apart from their theology, I think there's another analogy, which is not a religious analogy, but a cultural and, analogy, and that is the way that Asian immigrants, and particularly their children, are represented as a model minority. The drive for study, education, focus, that kind of thing, apart from whatever religion they may have, which may be Buddhist, but it may be any other religion that they may come as they assimilate and live a longer period in the American society. I think that in much the same way, but so far to a lesser degree, it may be in the future, Mormons are being seen as kind of a model religious minority. Because of family values, because of their missionary evangelism work, that commitment of 1 to 2 years at a certain period in young men's lives, they don't like the knocking on the door business because people usually confuse them with Jehovah's Witnesses and people who won't take no for an answer in living out the Great Commission. So that's a point of confusion. Pro-Mormon or anti-Mormon, as someone, again, who lives and works in the evangelical Sun Belt, in the suburban Sun Belt particularly, although, and I have to do a small correction, although South Park is very popular for a cable show, its cable audience is roughly 1.2 million per week, so it's not, we're not talking Desperate Housewives here. Now, that may change because for about 7 or 8 months now, it's gone into syndication on broadcast stations, played usually around 11 o'clock or 11:30. And those versions are, to some degree, expurgated. Otherwise, you know, they just couldn't go over the air. The FCC wouldn't let them, even with all the beeps. When I interviewed Matt Stone from my book, he told me that many of the ones that deal with religion, I don't think this one, I'm not sure, were so hopeless that even expurgated, they'll never air. Because you have to cut out too much and there's not, you don't have 17 minutes left to broadcast. And many of those that were not salvageable dealt with religion. But I don't know that this is one of them, because this is, if you can believe it, if you don't watch South Park regularly, this is one of the milder versions of what you can see or hear. I mean, my books are all PG-13, but when I got to this section, it was a lot of work, believe me. But that long preface, this is the way most Americans outside of areas of Mormon concentration view Mormons, which is to say, whack history, you know, whack theology, but excellent family values. And the Mormons who live where they are a minority in my area don't push the theology, don't push the history. They do downplay it, and they do want to be part of any Christian scene. And they are, as I said, not only at the top, I believe, is mainstream Mormonism complicit, but at the grassroots. Now, again, that may be a function of where they live, which is to say where they are an extreme, if not an exotic, minority of the you know, and these other issues, they come into play where sort of, you know, when you're in your kingdom or your adjacent, you know, provinces to the kingdom, where these, you know, these more fine differentiations or deviations come into play. The Mormons on the ground who I know, who I deal with, frankly, on a regular basis, are quite active in pushing this model Christian minority line. They never put it that way, but it's the impact of what they say. This emerging paradigm of the exemplar of traditional family values. And I will say also that in this sense, Mormonism is not unique. I can speak in my own faith tradition, which is Judaism. About 2 or 3 years ago, some very mainstream conservative rabbis suggested that historically speaking, the Exodus never happened. Well, you know, that, you know, kicks the stays out of a lot of Judaism. But they were saying it doesn't. You know, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, maybe it was a myth, maybe it wasn't a myth, but it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't undermine what Judaism is. So I rambled a bit because my mind is somewhere through the metal detector. But that would be my response to, and if you have any questions, just a few from me. I've got to take off, but thank you for your attention.
We've got about 5 minutes for some questions, and we won't make Mark wait. I mean, we don't want to make you late, so leave whenever you have to, and we'll just thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, I've watched this episode several times with my friends, and almost invariably several times after watching this, we have the following conversation. My friend will say, haha, that was pretty funny. I really liked that. That was pretty funny. They got most things right. But that hat thing, that was dumb. Where'd they get that from? And, you know, I look back and say, well, you know, Joseph Smith actually did use a hat. You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Really? Yeah. Oh. And what happens is, when you see that, there's a reinforcement of this idea that, okay, our church history is dumb. And people don't know about it, so they think it's dumb. And I guess my question for you, Dennis, is, you mentioned Steve the Robinsons, you mentioned the Millets, or Millets, but what are your thoughts about how the institutional church has been pushing this Americanization?
Well, I mean, I think that the pushing of the Americanization starts with correlation, where we make sure that the content of any lesson manual is going to be the same anywhere, and we centralize all of this and ensure, for example, that the King Follett discourse isn't discussed very often because it's not really present in much in the lesson manuals. I think it really started back when the CES was changing from being an actual scholarly sort of academic organization, sort of comparable to theology schools or seminaries in other traditions, to becoming this kind of a very devotional study of religion rather than a scholarly academic study of religion. I think that's where that first starts off. And then if you were to look through current general conference addresses and look at how many references there are to the more esoteric beliefs that Mormons have, you'd find that they're less often references. However, we still need to have some distinction, so there are references, and the most important ones are always ones that support the church authority and the power at the hierarchy level. So for example, the idea that there's continuing revelation is very important. The idea that there's a restoration of authority is very important, because we need to still have control over, you know, the people in the church. But I think that generally speaking, there is a move away theologically from the things that were initially most radical about Mormon theology. And I'm not saying everything about Mormon theology was radical early on. I think there were lots of stuff that was, to me, reprehensible as well. But nevertheless, I think that a lot of the things that were the most interesting and peculiar are being downplayed, and I think that that's part of this whole process that, you know, that's going on. So
I should say something that I should have said earlier in terms of some modicum of fairness, and that is, if you presented almost any founding religious narrative of the great faiths this way, in cartoon fashion, you could make almost any religion look ridiculous. If you didn't know the New Testament story at all, you were not familiar with it, and let's say you live in another part of the world where Christianity was not a part of your framework, you could do an episode of this where the kid is a Christian who comes to a Chinese village and says, oh yeah, this guy came and said, well, maybe he was, you know, the Messiah, maybe he wasn't, and they nailed him to a tree, and then they put him in the grave, and then, boom, he was gone. He wasn't there. Then he shows up, you know, several days later, and then he's gone again. I mean, you could easily reduce a founding religious narrative to caricature, literally, with any faith. What makes this one, what enhances this is the difficulty that many people have with Mormon history and theology, which is to say, it is so recent. It is so close. And that's the issue. I mean, with American-founded faiths and religions, particularly from the 19th century, where there is modern memory of some of the circumstances and some of the excesses, you know, the massacre in the meadow and all the rest of that stuff, it's the aura of spirituality and divine is a tougher sell, frankly. Now, 400 years from now, it may not carry the same burden that it carries now, but in fairness, it's not just Mormonism that's being caricatured. It is really a founding religious narrative. So that's all I would add there.
We are out of time for this session. Thanks for coming. We've got about, you know, 5 or so minutes before the other session will start coming in if you want to come up and ask questions. Again, don't keep Mark. Thanks so much for coming.